episode 3 of Drunk on Comics.
Hello, and welcome to Drunk on Comics once again. This is our podcast about comic books, conventions, and all other things nerdy. With me today, once again, we have Tony, who, if you've listened to the last couple episodes, you'll be familiar with.
And, hello.
Oh, sorry, Tony. Stepping on you there.
That's all right.
We also have with us our fourth musketeer, I guess you could call him, Tony's brother, Matt. So, Matt, welcome to the show.
Hey, if I'm the fourth musketeer, does that make me D'Artagnan?
I don't know which one.
Well, you guys are all old, so I think that makes me the young one.
Wait, actually, are you the youngest?
Yes.
Oh, are you Tony's younger brother?
Yeah.
Why did I assume you're older?
Because I act more mature.
That's probably true. So yeah, so I guess that or you're the kid that like brings us our swords. One of the two.
One of the two.
Yeah. So, well, Matt, our listeners have gotten to know us a little bit as far as what we like, what we collect. You know, kind of what makes us a nerd. So, do our listeners a favor and kind of fill them in a little bit about yourself.
Well, I've been a big fan of comic books and superheroes since I was a little kid. I remember fondly watching the old Spider-Man and X-Men comics. Or shows on Fox every Saturday morning.
And by the way, we're not going to sing the theme song again this week.
And was always reluctant because, just like the writers of comic books, those shows seemed to always get backtracked and you'd get reruns and reruns and long times where the shows seemed like they were canceled. But then when I finally had some money to actually support the comic book industry, I started back during Avengers Disassembled. And I've pretty much been riding that Marvel wave ever since. Pretty much collecting most of the Avenger titles or any of the big blockbusters, even though some of them turned out to be quite disappointing.
Now, do you get into DC or any of the indie books at all?
About the only DC character I care about is Batman. All the rest of them can probably go do something with themselves. But I did get the Sandman series and a lot of the Vertigo line from DC publisher I've been a big fan of. A friend of mine let me borrow his whole comic book convention when he moved back to Germany, and I still have it sitting upstairs in my house. So, Dennis, if you ever need that back, you just got to let me know.
No, don't give it back, man. Don't give it back.
So, Matt, do you collect anything besides comics? I mean, are you into the figures? I mean, your brother is obviously into the toys, video games, movies, any of that?
Well, I am a very big nerd. And actually, in college, I started Dork Club, dubbing myself the Duke of Dork as I started that club and I was its president. Collect a lot of other nerdy things like magic cards, Dungeons and Dragons, paint figurines.
I forgot you were a big D&D guy.
Yes, indeed. Also moved into Pathfinder recently because it's like Dungeons and Dragons 3.7, a little bit better. But I'm also a stage combat instructor, and so
You know your way around a staff.
So I know my way around a staff, and I can poke people with rapiers too from the time to time.
Wait, did you say poke and rape people?
Yes.
Okay, well, good. Yes. As long as we're down with that.
You know, it takes a Viking to raise a village. No. So.
And it takes another one to burn it down. But now, one of the things too that we haven't talked about beforehand is that I know you, as well as Tony, Kevin, who's not here this week, and myself, we're also into quite a few of the different, you know, card games. I don't remember the exact word for it, but it's basically trading card games. Things like Munchkin, Bang. What was the one that I got pissed at you about, Tony, that we played?
No, that was Munchkin, yeah.
That was Munchkin? Yeah. Okay, yeah. You know, so we do a lot of those. I know you're into those as well. So, well, that always gives us a little bit of a start. So we are going to move on to our weekly topic that we call Off the Shelf. By the way, here's your warning. We're going to give it every week. We will be giving spoilers. We're going to be talking about things that happened in this week's comic book. So if you still have not had a chance to read all of your books and you want to read them before you hear, hit pause now and then come back and listen to it when you're done. So, Tony, I'm going to let you kick it off again this week. What did you read and you want to share with us?
All right, this week I picked up Wolverine 310, written by Jeff Loeb, artist Simone Bianchi. It was, first off, the art was incredible. I really enjoyed that.
I will say, I picked this one up as well. I mean, she does have a beautiful style about it.
Yeah, and I have to say, even the cover art for what I have, I know you have the variant cover, but this one, who did the variant?
The variant was done by McGinnis, and, okay. And I apologize, I can't remember his first name. Keep talking, I'll see.
But Simone, she did this cover, which Wolverine, it looks like Sabretooth tearing off part of Wolverine's head to reveal him. It was, I thought, very well done.
And actually, Tony, I'll interrupt for just 1 second. It was Ed McGinnis and Jason Keith did this. And for those of you that don't know, it was, I guess, a retrospect look at the old Wolverine Uncanny X-Men, and I can't remember which one, where his claws are tearing through the front cover. It's actually Sabretooth tearing through the front cover. So it's an homage to the John Romita Jr. cover on that variant edition, which was a 1 in 50, if any of you saw it.
All right. Well, me and my brother, we used to read a lot of Wolverine. We used to collect it until our piggy banks ran dry. Kind of stopped reading after the Romulus arc. I thought it was very interesting until it kind of got a little boring. But it was still overall, anything that you can delve into Wolverine's past was always something new, especially since they've been dealing with that a little bit more. I also picked up Wolverine Goes to Hell, which was also very good, but besides Wolverine the last couple of years, I haven't read a lot about him. I did see when he killed Sabretooth, and I thought, wow, he's dead. Didn't ever think that was going to happen. Overall, though, I get sick of resurrections, but I'm glad that I'm take of this storyline. Having an army of clone Sabretooths is not only an evil genius to the higher level, but I guess a somewhat plausible reason for him to come back. If it was just, oh, I live again because I healed. No, wasn't going to work for me. But you cloned him, you cloned an army for whatever evil purposes, and one of them just so happens to have a little bit more sentience. Badass. Good way to go. Didn't think that was going to happen.
Well, and it's funny because we talked about this last week, and Matt, feel free to chime in too. You know, about the bullshit of being able to, you know, resurrect a character whenever you want. I loved the fact that Wolverine finally killed Sabretooth, and I'm glad he's back, but if he's going to be back, I wanted it to be the real Sabretooth, not a clone. You know, that's just me.
It's one of those things that, you know, they used to get away in comics that you could bring back a villain simply because there was no body to be found. Right? You thought that the villain was dead, but really they escaped. But it seems like recently, it's always about actually killing them and showing proof of the body that he's dead, just so you can bring him back in some weird-ass way.
Well, and in this comic, they actually, Wolverine goes back and digs him up and finds the body of him. So, you know, I understand, you know, ultimately, you know, the publishers, they've got to sell comic books. I mean, that's what they're there to do. You know, but when he goes back and digs him up and finds his broken remains...
Which, artistically, I do like the homage to Hamlet digging up Yorick's bones.
Yeah, that is a very nice little point there, isn't it? See, and this is the bonus I have in you, Matt. You're smart and stuff.
It's that culture.
Yeah. So, I'm sorry, Tony, continue on what you were...
So, like I said, I'm okay with this, and as far as resurrections and people coming back, which we'll get to later, there's going to be a crap ton of that happening.
By the way, how much is a crap ton?
A little bit less than a shit ton.
Okay, but more than a poo ton.
Yes.
Okay. I'm sorry, continue.
But no, like I said, overall, good read. It looks like it's going to be a 6-part arc, so it is going to make me read Wolverine again, and I'm hoping that it's going to compel me enough to continue reading him. Now that I'm a little bit older, I have a little bit more money, so I can start collecting a few new comics.
Yeah, and I will say that Marvel did a good job promoting this. I mean, they put out the little, you know, quarter-page cards. They did the free issue, put it out there to help promote it. It was enough to actually get me to buy the comic just because I love the Wolverine and Sabretooth rivalry. And, you know, I mean, one of my all-time favorite comics is Uncanny X-Men number 213, which I will talk about at some point. absolutely love that comic, and that's one of the things that really got me pulled in as a young kid.
Oh, yeah. I loved also Wolverine and Sabretooth with the 198 when Sabretooth was a mutant, so he was allowed to stay at the X-Mansion, and Wolverine wanted to kill him every day, Sabretooth making him want to kill him every day, but he couldn't because of the whole M-Day and everything. That was a wholly different take, too, which I enjoyed that storyline a bit, because...
Well, you've got two brutal killers that have the ability to heal from just about any wound. Their fights have always been epic and awesome, and I love that they continue to allude to the fact that they are brothers and related, even though in other Marvel non-canon works, they come right out and say Wolverine and Sabretooth are brothers, such as the Origins movie, which was lame. And also in the Facebook game, the Avengers Facebook game that I have been addicted to these past months, they come right out and they call Sabretooth calls Wolverine brother. So I love that that in the comics they've never really come right out and said whether or not that they're related.
See,
they're close enough.
I ignore the fact that they're brothers. I ignore the whole James Howlett thing. Like I choose to close my eyes to that whole thing. I want Wolverine to be Logan, who doesn't know who the hell he is, that realistically his origin starts when he was in Japan with the whole, you know, Frank Miller miniseries, even though that was later on. You know, but that's, well, and actually Wolverine number 3 was the first comic I purchased with my own money, the original Frank Miller miniseries. I love the fact that Wolverine didn't know who he was. That was part of the draw to him. For them to give the answers that were bullshit answers, no, I just, I'll drink more and forget about it. All right, so Tony, you got anything else you want to add on that book?
No, like I said, very good pick. Definitely pick it up.
And I will admit, I've started reading Wolverine again for the first time in a long time. So we're going to pop over to my pick for the week, which was Punisher number 13, both also from Marvel, written by Greg Rucka. Art was by, and I hope I'm saying this right, Miko Suyen and Matt Hollingsworth. And then the cover on this issue was done by Marco Cicchetto, which, by the way, I absolutely love his art. Quick background for those of you that are not familiar with this series. I know I talked about it briefly last week. The Punisher has been pursuing a criminal organization called The Exchange, and he's been joined by Marine Sergeant Rachel Cole Alves, whose family, husbands, and friends were all gunned down at her wedding. So she's a little bit pissed off as well.
Yeah. that might be enough to cause you to want some revenge there.
Yeah, well, and that's one of the nice tie-ins there. So the two of them have joined forces, obviously both for their own reasons, and they're obviously looking for the same result. So the plot and little story breakdown on this one was Frank Castle and Sergeant Cole go undercover on this one, and what they do is they're going to gather intel at an auction of tech gear of superheroes and villains, where they're auctioning off all this really cool stuff, like the stuff that us as fanboys would actually buy if we could get it. The stuff that they mention in there and show, they've got some pieces from Iron Man, Fantastic Four, Doc Ock, and the Black Widow. So it's actually kind of a pretty cool thing, but obviously now it's all a secret society type of thing. So the Punisher, and for lack of a better name, I'm going to call her She Punisher. They actually, it's kind of cool because they
sorry, can I amend that and maybe we can call her Punish Her?
Oh, God.
Yeah, because he's going to punish her, all right.
I am not looking forward when they finally get the romantic interest involved.
You know, I actually don't think that there will be a romantic interest. I don't see Frank Castle being romantic. I see him as being a hit it and quit it kind of guy.
Yeah, all right.
So, you
know, just a bang bang and
yeah, I'm here to get a job done.
Kind of be like Brock Sampson and Molotov cocktails, you know?
Yeah, you know, it's like, you're my vessel, take it.
So, mom, please don't listen to this.
Yeah, see, there's a reason I haven't told my mom about this. But anyway, so what they do is they go in. The cool thing that I liked about this is that they all get dressed up. Frank's wearing a tux. Rachel's wearing, like, this really nice dress. It's very James Bond, you know, where they're going undercover. But what they do is that the whole point of this is that Frank's actually intending to get caught as a fake. And so he does, while he's caught, Rachel uses her sex appeal, gets a guy downstairs below in the ship that they're on, knocks him out, kills him, whatever it is, sets explosives and blows the thing all to hell. So ultimately what happens is, you know, our anti-heroes, they get away, they blow up the ship, and they seem to have obtained one of Doc Ock's armatures made out of adamantium. Now, the servos, which there's a little card where you see the broken glass, the servos were in another case. Whether or not they got those at all or not, I don't know. Why they wanted this, I don't know. It's a great story. This is a good jumping on point for people. Overall, I'd say pick it up. You know, so there's a couple things I do want to, you know, talk to you guys about. And one is punish her.
Thank you.
Why I like her, and I don't know if either of you guys had a chance to read this book or not.
I skimmed through it.
Okay.
No, I haven't had a chance yet.
Okay. Chick Punisher, awesome. You know, she kicks ass. I mean, she's hard as nails. The last issue, there was a great little talking point where Frank pulls, it makes her empty her pockets. She's got guns, she's got knives, she has an iPad, an iPod, she has headphones, she has, like, lip gloss, and all this other stuff.
But where would she put that in those skin-tight uniforms?
Well, see, now, she wasn't wearing the skin-tight uniform in that one. Although she did have C4 taped under her boobs, I think, in the in this issue. So, but he separates everything. He takes the guns, the ammo, the knives, puts it on one side, and he takes the, like, all the other things, and he says, "You're dead now. These are gifts for the living. You don't have the luxury of music. You don't have the luxury of that. These are your tools now." So it's awesome because, I mean, she really does kick ass, and she gives Frank Castle a protege, which I think is awesome. But more so, it actually gives Frank a little bit of an emotion. Even though he's still a hard ass, you know, even though he still wants to go out there and kill everybody that does wrong, he's now making a human connection, which you don't see often in the Punisher comics.
Well, especially not with a female.
No.
I just have the feeling that she's going to die, and it's going to give him new emotion and a new bad guy to start going towards. And
well, and that would be great. Now, the other thing... I'm sorry, go
that's
ahead.
If that's the direction that Marvel chooses to take it, I think they continue to play off of the fact that he's only doing this for punishment. This isn't about revenge. But then when you start killing people close to him, it gets really difficult to not see it as revenge anymore.
Yeah, but see, originally it was revenge, you know, with him. And the same thing's true for her, because this group that they're going after, which is called the Exchange, they're the ones responsible for gunning down everyone that she loved and knew.
Mm.
And so she's there for revenge. And actually, the one woman that she really wanted to kill was there. And at one point in this comic, she goes, "I don't have the shot." And he says, "Forget her. She isn't why we came."
Okay.
So
I always look at Punisher as Judge Dredd. Judge, jury, executioner. And pretty much that sums him up. I mean, he's the Marvel Judge Dredd. And
you know, and he is a very interesting character. And I have not read Punisher in years outside of a couple issues here and there. But realistically, that was probably back in the 90s and maybe even the 80s. When I did, but I picked it up because of the crossover of Daredevil, Spider-Man, and Punisher, which was a great little crossover. I mean, it's what crossover should be. One issue, each of their comics, storyline's done. You know, yeah. It's just enough to tie them in so that you can help share the knowledge of who these characters are to people that aren't reading those, and hopefully you'll get somebody to start reading others. So, you know, I've gotten into this. One other big bonus, Rachel, punish her. Yeah, she's fucking hot. I mean, it's a great thing. As far as this individual book itself, I really did like the art. I prefer the Chichetto art on it myself. But I've got nothing to complain about here. Greg Rucka is telling an awesome story. He's got great dialogue. He's giving good character background. The only question I have, because I didn't jump into this until about 3 issues ago, Punisher's missing his eye. I don't know how that happened.
Maybe he wants to have Nick Fury's job, because apparently there's like 3 of them now.
Well, yeah, but together, neither one of them can watch a movie in 3D.
Aww.
So, all right, so that's what I got for my off-the-shelf this week. we're going to move on here for a minute, and we're actually going to do a little bit of a news story this week. And I don't know if you really call it news. We don't have a title for the segment yet. We'll figure it out. But Matt, I'm going to let you take over that one.
Ladies and gentlemen, recently we have had the announcement that Marvel is going to do a reboot, relaunch, shaking up of things.
It's not a reboot.
It's not a full reboot the way that DC did it, where they said, hey, everything we talked about before doesn't really exist.
DC had to, though. DC screwed themselves.
Yeah, it was pretty lame.
You know, where every time it's like, oh, this didn't happen, that was on a different Earth.
Yeah. Well, see, that's what I love about Marvel and their Omniverse, like, the two biggest ones that's always talked about, Age of Apocalypse and then Ultimate World. Those are separate universes, but within the Marvel Omniverse, to where people, whether Terran Dimension, time travel to get to that one or whatever, they're able to go back to those. So where there's a lot of what-ifs, there's a lot of brief kind of encounters of some different dimensions, those dimensions are still always ongoing. And so as a fanboy, when you go back to some of them, it's very sweet to be like, I totally remember that back in issue 40.
Well, and I like the reason that Marvel started the Ultimate Universe was to give a newer look with the old stories so that they could draw new readers, people that were, you know, felt a little afraid of, they want to start reading Avengers, they want to start reading Captain America or Spider-Man, but they're like, well, there's too much history.
But
well,
see, now that's what I feel like, according to the USA Today article, Marvel now refreshes creativity and characters.
Now with an exclamation point.
Now with an exclamation point, which I'll get to that in just a second. They talk about that, and I'm quoting here, with characters that have been around that long, a renewal is needed from time to time, from generation to generation. It seems to me that it's Marvel's goal to try to shake things up again and reinvent some characters. They said that some people are going to come back with new identities, new costumes. New costumes are always cool.
Yeah.
New identities, not always cool.
Why not make new properties, new intellectual properties? Why not make new characters?
Yeah,
be creative.
Instead of characters that come along for one storyline and then you kill off or get rid of only so you can resurrect them again in a few more comics.
Yeah, well, you know, and one of the problems that I have with the whole thing is that Marvel explained the fact that, you know, I mean, how long have, you know, Avengers and X-Men been around? 50 years now?
Something like that,
you know?
Yeah.
And they explained it that, like, you know, every year is like a month, or every year is a week or whatever in the life of them, so that realistically, you know, they've been around for 50 years on the shelves, but it's only been 5 or 10 years in real life.
Kind of, yes. The way that I've always heard it, it's a sliding scale. They will take every pop culture and current events, but in their own age of their being, yes, they only age every, like, 20 years is an actual year to them. So, like, they look at it, I think, as a timeline of when the Fantastic Four became irradiated with solar flares. That was, like, the beginning, and that was the first era, and then came, you know, Golden Age, Silver Age, and each era made each character age like a year or two.
That's why they just recently came out with the Heroic Age, but that seems to have gone by the wayside, and it's no longer talked about anymore.
Well, no, the Heroic Age was a year, so that's like, what, 45 minutes?
Yeah, but they're talking about, like, you had the Golden Age of comics, which was, you know, way back when, during World War II, even, and then you had the Silver Age of comics, and then, I can't remember what
they called Bronze.
It. The Bronze. And then I can't remember what they called the age right before the Heroic Age, but, I mean, these things had lasted several years, and now it seems like, oh, now we'll just keep flipping out these
ages. I think that was the foil cover age.
Oh, the foil. Let's not forget the swimsuit cover ages of the mid-90s.
Yeah, well, all those swimsuited issues were, yeah, they were great.
I'd like to see where Punish Her is packing that C4 in the swimsuit cover.
It's been molded properly, that's all I'm going to say. Yeah, now, one of the things is that I read a couple different articles on this, and editor-in-chief of Marvel, Axel Alonso, said, and I'm quoting, "It's not hype when we say that AVX is the culmination of a lot of stories we've done over the last several years. Characters are redeemed or not. Characters are changed. The X-Men and the Avengers are both repositioned for the future. What better time to shake things up? I'll agree. You've got a huge crossover. If you want to shake things up, shake things up. But, you know, he also goes on to say, this ain't a reboot. It's a new beginning.
Okay. So that's what I don't understand. If this is going to branch off into a new universe, and there's going to be separate storylines like Ultimate Avengers and Ultimate, you know, Universe, then this is called the Now Universe. That's something totally different than the Marvel 616 universe, their main universe that they always have.
You're starting fresh. You know, isn't that what you're supposed to do after every blockbuster crossover event, is that you've created events that have changed the story? Isn't that what every story in the Marvel universe is supposed to do, is somehow progress the character?
Supposed to, man. Yeah, supposed to. One of the biggest, well, supposed to be blockbuster ones that had a lot of the characters I loved was the Chaos War. Had Hercules, had Prince of Power, had Amadeus Cho, Prince of Power, had Silver Surfer, had pretty much all these heavyweight godlike beings. And what ended up happening at the end? They reset it. No one really remembered except for three people.
Deus Ex Machia.
Yep. The Serpent King and Fear itself. Ooh.
Oh, and hammers everywhere. Things up.
Thor's dead.
Thor's dead for like 2 weeks.
Yes.
Well, yeah, but he probably broke his hammer again too, didn't he?
See, all right, a little side note about the Fear itself. They wasted a big opportunity there by having them kill each other, which obviously Thor got resurrected really quickly.
Yeah.
When to say that, you know, okay, this is the prophecy that they've always talked about of Thor having to kill the Midgard serpent, and that in the process Thor's going to die. Why not have Thor just defeat the serpent right now, and the serpent still be alive, but now captured? And now Odin takes him prisoner back to Asgard the way he did, and you never have to do the little storyline with Thor being dead. Instead, that prophecy can be continually holding over Thor, going that, I know someday I am going to die for good, and it's going to be battling the serpent. And now we have a looming threat for the future. It's building suspense for the time when we finally hint back to the serpent. But I really feel like now anytime Fear itself gets re-referenced, everyone's just going to be like, damn it, not again.
So your idea would be called good writing. they had no... Like, what was that event? I mean, it was supposed to be to change everything. What, Thor... Wait, as you said, Thor's not dead.
Bucky Barnes isn't dead. Bucky Barnes didn't even wait to be resurrected. He waited to like, the last issue and then said, hey, I wasn't really dead. I was just faking it so I could go back to be a Russian...
Winter Soldier. Yeah, what was that event? I mean,
yeah, I still can't get over honestly, that event. Well, you guys actually read more of that than I did. I got a couple issues in and said, screw this.
Smart man.
Yeah, I'm not wasting my money on this anymore. And I suffered through the crossovers into the regular books that I was reading just because I didn't want to give up on the stories that I was reading, even though it crossed over into it. But yeah, horrible. God, it was horrible.
And that's what I was expecting AVX to be. I'm surprised that it's not. And the part of me says, holy shit, they're actually going to do something with this event. I'm intrigued. Want to hear what they're going to do with this event.
But before it's even halfway over, well, I guess we are at the halfway point now. But they already come out with the announcement of, these are people that are coming back. Look forward for Jean Grey coming back. I'm like, if you're going to slap me in the face by bringing Jean Grey back again, which is going to cause Derek to quit reading Uncanny X-Men.
Which I said last week, if they bring her back, which I swear to God, I can't believe this story couldn't have come out at a better time.
So, but if you're going to, I mean, you're already giving away the ending. It's a spoiler alert that you didn't warn us. Hey, spoiler alert. At least we do that on this show.
Well... Yeah, we do. We're like, there's going to be spoilers. You don't like it, piss off. You know, but yeah, and now there's, of course, it's going to be the teenage versions of Cyclops and Angel and Marvel Girl and Iceman.
Does that mean Wolverine gets to be uncomfortably close with a teenage Jean Grey?
Oh, you mean like...
like in the Spider-Man? Ultimate Spider-Man universe see, where now, their brains got switched?
See now I don't read Ultimates, but that is kind of awesome.
Before Ultimatum, you're missing out. After Ultimatum, eh.
Okay, well, see, but then again, it'd be more... That'd actually be okay, because now it's more like the whole Kitty Pryde, I'm 14, and I want to bang 28-year-old Cyclops.
Mm.
And yeah. that seemed to be okay in those comics in the 80s.
It was the 80s.
Well, yeah. You know, I mean, the only difference is that it wasn't Jerry Sandusky.
But okay, let's bringing back Jean Grey. Why bring back a version of Jean Grey that has absolutely no history of the events that are going on? This is before she became the Phoenix. This is before she really fell in love with Cyclops. I mean, bringing back a more mature Jean Grey after she's been married to Cyclops for a while, have had a couple kids
with him
that got sent to the future.
But you realize not only by bringing Jean Grey back is that just, you know, hey, let's piss on the grave of this character. But more so, it's like, hey, guess what? White Queen?
Yeah.
Cyclops?
Yeah. Yeah, if I mean, a more mature Jean Grey, you can have that storyline of like, oh, Scott, I thought you loved me forever. It seems that's not the case. Or maybe Jean Grey's a little bit more forgiving. But a more mature Jean Grey, then Wolverine's like, hey, about time. Right? And then you get a refuel. You get to throw even more fuel onto the fire between Wolverine and Cyclops, who already hate each other right now. But now Cyclops can be jealous of Wolverine for banging his ex-wife.
Yeah, but which would be awesome, by the way. So wait, but if she's 16, does that mean that she's going to go to Wolverine school?
Ooh.
Because then all of a sudden, now we have like a TMZ moment.
She goes to the school, wait, the school's named after me too.
There's a big statue of me. I mean, like, I've been seeing the writing on the wall for an AVX with a lot of mentions of Jean Grey, and so I'm not surprised that they would choose this time to bring her back. You've got Wanda, you've got the Scarlet Witch, who's got the ability to alter reality, mm-hmm. and you've got Hope, who can mimic the powers of any mutant she's near. You don't think that she could mimic the reality-altering powers of the Scarlet Witch? So you got a lot of potential of, hey, we can change the universe here. But you're going to bring them back from time travel of the younger group? And you're going to bring all of them back? What's going to happen to Beast and his younger Beast? And well, Iceman and his younger Iceman?
But they're also going to, according to the article that I read, you're going to have all those characters standing alongside their current counterparts.
If this is like Time Cop, they can't touch each other, otherwise they...
hey, I think Spock determined that in the last Star Trek movie that was just a big hoax. That was made up.
Yeah, but Wizard beat Spock.
That's true.
So,
but if you're going to bring back these younger people, right? I mean, you've already started Angel down a path of, is he really thinks he's an angel? Mm-hmm. But he's been, you know, infected all these years with the celestial technology of Apocalypse.
See, now, well, actually now, there's a really good point that I hadn't thought of. You bring old Angel back to teach... Or I'm sorry, you bring original Angel back to teach, like, stupid wiped clean Angel who he is.
Hmm.
That could actually work.
I think those... But they want to start back fresh and new, get new readers. Do you not think new readers are going to be like, why are there all these twins? Like, who are these people?
Yeah.
And, you know, in the next big blockbuster, like, somehow...
Half of them are going to
disappear because Marvel will have done their product testing and gone, oh, people really didn't like this storyline very much. Let's just go back and, hey, let's do Marvel Next. Marvel Next. I can't wait for that.
Two exclamation points, though.
By the way, Marvel Now, I really think the House of Ideas has run out of ideas and is just copying Kevin Smith's Catholicism Wow campaign from the movie Dogma. That's my opinion. I can't wait for the Captain America issue with him pointing out and the thumbs up.
Yeah, the buddy cap.
The buddy cap. And any artists out there who are listening, please draw me that cover and send it in to us.
Yeah, oh, I may actually pay for that cover. Now, a couple of the other things that are in here is that they're going to be switching who's writing what, who's working on what, which I'm okay with.
That's okay.
You know, switch them up. You know, it's always good to have fresh ideas on there. My biggest problem is that starting in October, you're going to have Uncanny Avengers.
A new title, yay!
Because I think we already have X-Men and the Avengers. Do you need to call it Uncanny Avengers? But the one that pisses me off most, new X-Men.
No, all new X-Men is what I'm saying. All new X-Men.
All new. Because all new is only all new for realistically one issue. And then it's not all new anymore.
Yeah.
So come on, guys, really? You can't come up with a better freaking title than that?
But it's, you know, it's they're crossing over and they're shaking everything up, so we'll take a little bit of this title and put it in that title.
Well, see, one of the things that when they're shaking it up that I'm reading is, okay, so you bring in the old team back. That's one of the big things that's going to change this universe. I want to know.
Weren't they called X Factor at one point?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, continue.
What else is going to realistically change again of the past? I mean, I'm hoping that they're going to keep that intact, because if they screw that up, they're going to be doing themselves, shooting themselves in the foot, just like DC did with why is Blackest Night still going on when that clearly happened right before Flashpoint, but for some reason the Green Lanterns don't realize that the world reset and there's a whole new storyline going on. You got half of DC Universe living in the old DC universe with the events that happen, these other people having totally different pasts that they're just finding out about. Is that what we're going to see with Marvel? Are we going to see, because they're saying that we're going to reinvent some of these people, which means they're going to reinvent them, they somehow have to have different paths, or pasts.
Well, one of the characters that they're reinventing and trying to bring everything back into their money-making movies, which have been awesome, by the way. I'm not gonna disregard that. But is they're bringing the Black Nick Fury that they introduced a while ago. I believe it was after Fear Itself, or maybe it was right before that.
And I think they introduced him in the Ultimates first.
Well, the Ultimates were the first one to have an African-American Nick Fury. And it was great because even in the comics, they joked about if they ever made a movie of them, that Samuel L. Jackson would play Nick Fury, and I thought that was really,
he still couldn't see it in 3D.
No. But now this Black Nick Fury in the Marvel 616 universe is Nick Fury's son that he had, and he's got like all of his dad's gadgets, and he's even changed his name to be Nick Fury now, and he's sporting the trendy Commander Rogers costume. Well, what are you going to do with old man white Nick Fury? He doesn't have the Infinity Serum anymore, so are you going to have him die of old age? Or are you going to keep him around just in your back pocket the next time you want to do something shady?
See, I honestly think Reed Richards just got pissed that Nick Fury had the same hair. And so he's like, you know what?
He sued Nick Fury.
You're Sam Jackson now. So,
but okay, so you want to try to make your comic books go a little bit more with your movie, and I totally agree that you know, a lot of the Marvel characters that were written back in the 60s and before are white bred American, and you really do need some more ethnically diverse superheroes.
Well, and not only ethnically, but you know, you actually need some more good strong female leads. Mm-hmm. So I understand the desire to bring Jean Grey back because she is a good female lead, but we talked about this last week, you know. X-23, they dumped her on her individual comic. Punish Her, I think they could actually, you know, spin her off onto her own comic. She's a good, solid character. She's got a good backstory. But, I mean, Marvel does not seem to actually, like, put anything into any female characters. And the ethnically diverse, you have Black Panther, which I don't know if the Black Panther comic is still out there when he took over for Daredevil. Is that done now?
The whole,
it was like Black
Ninja
Panther.
Hand, yeah,
it was like the Black Panther was the man without fear.
Yeah, I think that's done because I think the Kingpin now has control of the hand.
Okay.
So I think the whole I can't remember what it's called now, but it was really cool because Daredevil was a bad guy for a while, and they had a good reason for him to be a bad guy.
Yeah,
and then they saved him.
Which, Matt, you haven't been around for the last couple shows, but. By the way, that the new Daredevil series is just ridiculous. Okay. So now there are a couple other things though that I want to point out is that there was an exclusive art piece from Joe Quesada that was put out there about the Marvel Now. You heard the exclamation in my voice. It's got Cyclops in a new red costume, which, you know, whatever. It doesn't really matter to me what color his costume is, but. There are a couple other things in there. You got Hulk, who's got a new robot sidekick, because Hulk needs a sidekick. But more importantly, and Tony, I know you love this character, Rocket Raccoon.
Oh, yeah.
Now, really, Rocket Raccoon?
I mean, Guardians of the Galaxy is amazing. It's a quirky group of intergalactic heroes.
Fine, put that in the Marvel Kids section. But to have Rocket Raccoon in the mainstream Marvel comics, to me, It's like,
but he always has been. He just has been out in the galaxy protecting Earth from intergalactic forces
and getting a lot of raccoon, you know, tail.
Hey, I am liking in this photo. They have a picture of Cable, whom hasn't made an appearance in AVX yet, which is bugging me.
But he was in Avengers X Sanction, which sounds like a clinical problem, but.
Yeah, but, you know, at least you know, Cable comes back. He's time-traveling. That's been established with his character. He tries to do what he thinks is right by his adopted daughter. But I'm also pointing out the fact that Cable can also not watch a movie in 3D.
Okay, now, well,
in between him and Nick Fury, they either have one set of eyes or they're both blind.
Yeah, what is with the eye patch? I didn't even notice that. Eye patches make everyone seem...
Well, it's like that. It's like the episode of Big Bang where Wallowitz is going out on Ladies' Night wearing the eye patch because it's basically peacocking. But the problem that he ran into is that there were like three other guys with an eye patch there.
Well, speaking, Odin doesn't show up anytime soon because that man has an eye patch.
Speaking of sidekicks, that Spider-Man's getting a sidekick too. Alpha. Which,
wait, what?
You haven't heard
it's
of
not,
Alpha?
And hope
Alpha?
It's not Alpha 5. Aye, 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 Spider-Man!
No, I have not heard of this.
Okay, so from the previews that I've seen of it, it's kind of interesting, but also it's a retelling of Spider-Man. This kid comes, Spider-Man is now core kind of adult professor. You know, he's an adult now, so they're kind of reintroducing a younger version of Spider-Man. So this kid is in his facility, gets zapped, and somehow becomes Alpha. Don't know whether he's got the same powers as Spider-Man. Don't know anything about him. All I know is that they've teased that it's going to be Spider-Man's new sidekick.
Okay.
What ticks me off is Spider-Man on anyone would be the best to have a young sidekick. And sidekicks have been around, you know, since Captain and Bucky. However, what happens with most sidekicks is that sidekick eventually dies.
And then comes back as bad.
Yeah. Does Spider-Man really need some more anguish of people dying and or coming back too?
Well, yeah, that's a topic for a completely different time. But
yeah, next week. Let's cover that next week.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know. The whole thing.
Well, I want to get back to what you're saying, Rocket Raccoon, though. From what I was reading about this Marvel Now, was that they're now. Trying to... Now, sorry.
Now.
I mispronounced it, Marvel.
Not then, now!
Is... Exclamation point. Is that they're trying to bring some of these more cosmic entities from way out in the Shi'ar space, way out in the Kree worlds, more towards surrounding an Earth area, which would have to mean, you know, getting more Silver Surfer towards Earth, getting all these cosmic beings more towards Earth, which the problem I have with that is some of these are cosmic alpha-level gods, and if you have that too many people battling it up on Earth, I think those people need to start fighting other areas where they can just destroy worlds. Like, if you're going to bring stuff closer to Earth, that means Galactus is going to be closer to Earth. I mean,
yeah, but don't you see what's happening? There was talk of Guardians of the Galaxy being one of the next Marvel movies.
And actually, I heard earlier today, and I'm going to give a little shout out because I was listening to the podcast on the way here today. Conversing the Ninjaverse. By the way, great podcast. Go listen to it if you guys you know, like what we're doing. They talk a lot about movies, comics, blah, blah, blah. Awesome guys. Great show. But they actually filled me in on that podcast that I believe it's in 2014 that the Guardians of the Galaxy is going to be the next big Marvel movie.
Yeah.
That they've already gotten the licensing for products like, they were saying, like, inflatable chairs and, you know, like, koozies and, you know, like, all the other, like, toothbrushes and crap like that. But, and all credit to the guys on Conversing the Ninjaverse for this, because I didn't know this till today. And that's where I was, like, going, Tony's going to love this, because Rocket Raccoon's going to be on the big screen.
Yeah, yep. Well, not just him.
But to me, I mean, honestly...
Marvel is trying to... With the success of Avengers, there were so many people that came up to me and said, who was that guy at the end of the movie? And I'm, you know, being a nerd, I'm like, that's Thanos. Like, duh. But they had no idea. And so Marvel's been hoping that with these movies that they will introduce more people to the comics. Which so bringing great. bringing these Guardians of Galaxy characters back to Earth so that you can understand them a little more will help people relate to the movies and hopefully make it better success.
Yeah, speaking of the movies,
it's fine. It's marketing. It's thinking ahead. As long as you're also going to give them good stories and good reasons to be there, which I think there are plenty of ways that you can make that happen. You just have to look for them.
And
you have
Let's sum this all up here. I mean, from my standpoint, I'm pissed off because they're bringing Jean Grey back, because now I'm going to actually have to, like, I may have to quit reading X-Men.
Doesn't mean you piss me off. Can't keep collecting them. You just can't read them.
Can't read them anymore.
Exactly. You know, Rocket Raccoon, sorry. I mean, I know, like, you guys grew up on Power Rangers, but I'm a little bit older than you. I don't want a cartoon character as my superhero.
Hey, do you know who Groot is?
Who Groot?
Groot. Yeah, wait till you see Groot, a giant sentient talking tree.
Oh God!
I was gonna say, you know, Howard the Duck and Rocket Raccoon can now have adventures together.
Yeah, and they can both bang Leah Thompson. But so I'm pissed that they're even trying to do this. Marvel, the one thing that they've always done well, I think, is that they've had a good continuity. Don't screw it up. Continue what you've got.
I was going to bring up this point earlier, but one of the things that bugs me about this whole Marvel we got to start over with all these number one issues. And there was a comic book store owner by the name of Jermaine Exum from Acme Comics in Greensboro, North Carolina, who's quoted in the USA Today article as saying, he doesn't feel like Marvel needs a DC-style relaunch, but hey, everybody likes first issues. And I say bold to that, because I think like issue 101 or 501 are all really landmark issues that I'd be like, I'd go buy that one.
And I'm still pissed that they rebooted Uncanny X-Men at a number one. And I understand you want to sell more issues. But you know what?
Marvel wanted, I thought you had this figured out of a starting off point by having issues like 13.1. So the little point one were to remind us that this is a good starting on point because we're about to start another thing. But I could never tell, is 13.1 actually part of 13 or is it part 14 or is it separate? Do I have to buy it if I'm collecting all the
normal teams? Buy 1.1 if you want, if you're ready to jump in.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah. So, Tony, any last minute comments on this?
Like I said, interested a bit to hear a little bit more how they're going to do with the continuity, because that's what's key towards loving Marvel Universe. They don't F it up as much as DC has with continuity. They don't have Final Crisis, this and that. They've pretty much kept the same stuff going in the same Marvel Universe. So what's going to happen will be later, hopefully explained a little bit more. Little pissed that Hickman is going from his Fantastic Four run. Started really reading because of him, and
but you got Stegman now on art, so you're fine.
True.
So quit your bitching. you've got at least 50% there covered now. All right, guys, we're gonna move on to because we took a lot more time on that than I thought we would. We're gonna move on to our segment called Booze in a Book, and this week my Booze in a Book pick is from last week's stack, and it is X-Men Legacy number 269.
You can't read X-Men anymore.
Well, I did, and they haven't brought Jean Grey back yet. So, X-Men Legacy number 269 from Marvel Comics. The story is by Christos Gage, and with art by David Baldion and Jordi Tarragona. Now, this is a part of the tie-in with the AVX. It centers around Rogue and Ms. Marvel. I'm going to recommend pairing this book with some Schlitz and a couple shots of El Toro tequila. Why? Because while the beer, the booze, and the book all get the job done, ultimately, they'll fucking suck. So, that's it. That's my booze in the book for this week. I was going to get into some other stuff, but we're going to skip that this week because of our time. We're going to move on to a new segment that we call the Indie Turnpike. And this is a new segment for us where we're going to talk about books that are either true indie books or just aren't truly mainstream. Maybe covered by one of the couple big publishers. But this week, I talked about it a little bit last week. This week, I've got to talk about Fanboys vs. Zombies number 4 from Boom Studios. It's written by Sam Humphries with art by Jerry Gaylord. And I talked about 1 through 3 last week for my Booze in a Book segment. But hands down, this book was my pick of the week this week. The brief synopsis, if you guys didn't catch last week's podcast, is that there's a zombie outbreak that starts at San Diego Comic-Con because somebody eats a bad hot dog. which is just fantastic. From there, it's a perfect mix about what would we do. And when I say what would we do, I mean the three of us that are sitting here, our buddy Kevin, who's not here, us as fanboys, what would we do faced in this situation? Because honestly, when it comes to us fanboys, we all think that we're perfectly equipped for any kind of zombie outbreak that there is.
It is one of the best philosophical thought experiments out there. What is your zombie plan?
Well, and I've got a great one, but I'm not sharing it with everybody. If you want to join in, we'll talk. So, but you know, the thing that I love about this book is that it's like a toy chest of everything that we love about being nerds. There's D&D references, there's convention references, there's cosplayers. This week's book had a cosplayer dressed up like Cable that had turned into a zombie, which I didn't even notice at first because it was so beautifully drawn into there. There's cult movie references. Oh, I'm sorry, Tony, do you need to get that?
No, I'm good.
Okay, yeah. How about you turn your ringer off?
You just found a small chest in the corner.
Oh, yeah, there it is. There's all kinds of comic references, but there's so many other random fun things in there. One of my favorite panels in this is that when one of the main characters, Amanda, who she's the younger girl in the group, she's got an intimate moment with the biggest action movie star in the world, Drake. I can't remember his last name at this point. And they have their little kiss, they're covered in zombie blood, and there's little hearts floating around them. But better yet, not only are their hearts floating around, there are little chainsaws floating around, which is just perfect. You know, I mean, it really brings me back to the old school cartoons and comic strips. And what excites me most about this is I was looking at the Diamond previews, and they have issues 5 and 6 coming up. So I'm hoping that means that this is truly an ongoing series. I thought at first this was going to be like maybe a 4-issue story arc miniseries, and that was going to be it. Limited to the weekend of Comic-Con. You go in, you go out, you're done. But looks like it's going to be a little bit more than that. A couple points here. The characters, while they are definitely, you know, a little bit over the top exaggerations of a lot of the stereotypes, myself included, they're completely relatable. They're very realistic.
Well, even the zombies are relatable. I mean, they still want to Twitter about being at the convention.
Pick up free comic books and continue the game.
The guy that they're promoting his comic book that he's drawing is like, take them, they're free, you know? So, yeah, I mean, it is a fantastic book. In my opinion, this is the best single book that's on the market right now. And, you know, it doesn't matter, indie or not. It's a fun story, there's good dialogue, there's great art, there's awesome references, Easter eggs left and right, good funny moments. Most important are the characters. I'm actually starting to care about them. And that's hard to do. I read a lot of superhero comics because the characters don't matter that much in those. It's more about the storyline of what the characters are doing. These, I'm actually starting to care about them as people. Now, one last thing, kudos to Boom Studios. They put that first issue out there for $1. And honestly, I don't think I would have picked this issue or this series up with a title like Fanboys vs. Zombies if it would have been $3.99. Now, I don't even look at what the price is. I mean, it could be $8. I'm like, yeah, I'm buying it. I don't care. So go buy this book. I don't know a single fanboy, you guys included, and hopefully all the rest of our listeners that won't enjoy it.
All right.
So that's it. That's my quick trip down the indie turnpike.
All right. Well, let's get into our next segment, our collecting tips. Big one that we forgot to mention last week about convention.
No, the number one.
Yes. Yeah. This is number one tip of all time if you're going to a convention. Shower.
Shower, bathe, use deodorant, wash your clothes, you filthy monkeys.
Hey, those hotel showers, you're not paying the water bill.
Exactly. This is something that, you know, we can joke about all day, but it's serious. When people refer to something as the con funk, when it has its own name, you know it's a legitimate issue. But more so, Tony, do you remember a few years ago when we were first volunteering at one of the conventions that we go to? They had 3 rules. You got to be 18, you got to be willing to work 6 hours, and you must shower or bathe prior to coming to the show the day that you volunteer.
And I remember asking them, do you really need to put that in there? And they said, yes, we really need to put that as one of the legitimate rules in there.
Because, I mean, like, seriously, fanboys, you're smart enough to be able to retain all this knowledge about what goes on in the comics. Please remember to use soap
I mean, Axe body spray is not soap.
It doesn't matter how much you spray on. So, you know, not only will your fellow convention goers appreciate you, but, you know, that star that you're you know, showing a half stack to, they're going to appreciate it. The artists, the writers, the people that you want to talk to, they don't want to talk to you if you stink. So shower, for God's sake, shower. So
cleanliness is godliness.
Yeah. So now, one other thing. Actually, you know what? Well, we're going to leave the bagging, boarding, and slabbing your comics, I think, for next week. Because I think we're getting a little bit close on our time. Tony, you can correct me if I'm wrong here.
No, you are correct.
Okay. A couple of points to work in here real quick. You guys can follow us on Twitter. You can find us at Drunk on Comics. You can go to our website, drunkoncomics.com. You can also find us on Facebook, which that fan page has just been started. It's facebook.com/drunkoncomics, I think. But just look us up. You'll find us. Better yet, just go to our website, drunkoncomics.com. We've got the links up there for you. The website, however, is a little bit of a work in progress. We may or may not be changing formats on it here real soon. We're going to try and get some more regular daily updates for you. We are working on an artist's alley. We've got a few links up there. We're going to add at least one more this weekend that I know of, if not a couple more. Any of you artists that are out there that would like us to link to your website, please feel free to contact us, drunkoncomics@gmail.com. Send us a link to your website, and we will take care of the rest. But, Tony, any other points on the website itself?
Oh, man. No, I just hope to get it to a point where it is awesome as can be, but I'm still learning, so bear with us. We might go through some interface changes, so if you show up and it looks totally brand new, it may not be totally brand new for
better for week. You. It's more number ones.
Yeah. I'm in charge of Drunk on Comics universe, and I'm going to reset it every single week.
Yeah, well, we're going to have a big event this week.
Drunk on Comics now!
There you go. So, all right, guys, so please do us a favor. Give us some feedback. Hit us up on Twitter. Hit us up, you know, on the email. Hit us up on Facebook, whatever it may be. And, you know, we'd love to hear what you have. I mean, we actually got a couple really good little points in from last week on the indie stuff from one of our followers, and it's now created the Indie Turnpike. So I guess now that's pretty much going to do it, unless you guys have anything else you want to fill in.
I'm good. Keep on reading.
All right. So say goodbye, Matt.
Goodbye, Matt.
Say goodbye, Tony.
Live long and prosper.
No, I said say goodbye.
Bye.
Yeah. All right. I'm Derek, and on behalf of all of us on Drunk on Comics, we're out for the week. Keep reading, and we will see you again next week. Later.